Big news in the world of Web3 today, Binance and its CEO, CZ, or Changpeng Zhao, have pled guilty to federal charges that have resulted in over $4 billion in fines and penalties to the United States government. Now, this was a concerted effort across the Department of Treasury, the Office of Foreign Assets Control, and the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. It is significant not just because of the amount of the penalty, but in terms of the coordination across the different departments. And what many people have forgotten about in the Web3 space is criminal charges for an executive. Today, we're going to talk about all of this. Stay tuned. What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Barely Legal and Web3. I'm your host, Jamelia Greer, bringing you the latest in Web3 every week with a legal twist. So hold on to your digital wallets and let's get into it. So out of the $4 billion that Binance has to pay across the agencies, let's take a look first at the Office of Foreign Assets Control. So the Office of Foreign Assets Control is basically in charge of sanctions and sanctions compliance. So that includes people who are on certain lists and blocked persons and denied parties as well. So according to OFAC, Binance knew or had reason to know that, you know, the location of its user base, including the fact that it was matching users that were located within the United States with counterparts that were in sanctioned jurisdictions or with blocked persons. So what that means is that essentially they were in violation of OFAC regulations. And what they have committed to do as a result of this is very similar to what United Technologies Corporation, and I'll talk about that a little bit later in the podcast, but it's similar to what they had to do, which is institute an independent monitor and to really start building up a world-class compliance program, not just in terms of a policy, which I think is very prevalent in Web3 today, is that many people think, oh, if I draft this document, if I put this policy in place, everything's going to be okay. No, you actually have to put a program behind your policy, which means you have to do what your policy says. And this is significant because it speaks to the fact that many Web3 companies, and I think this is where people need to kind of pause and think a little bit, is that how much are Web3 companies actually doing when it comes to compliance? How much are they investing in their compliance team? How much are they checking on the strength and the quality of the measures that they put in place? So we'll talk a little bit more about that in a bit, but that's essentially what the OFAC charges are about. The other charges against Binance and against its CEO, CZ, have to do with money laundering and having unlicensed activity in terms of not being a licensed money transmitter. And that is in no way to play down the significance of the charges or the significance of the transactions that were occurring on the platform. And if you read through the indictment, some of the details are rather troubling. The point that I'd like to make, however, is that this is exactly what I spoke about in the beginning of this year, is that the Web3 and the cryptocurrency space are at risk because of the rapid growth and because of the fact that there is so much fast money in the space that oftentimes companies either lack effective leadership to be able to build the world-class and the robust compliance programs that are required, or they turn a blind eye because they think, as I think was quoted, is that it's better to ask for forgiveness than to ask for permission, or they just don't have the moral compass to be able to get these things under control. And that is in no way making an excuse for the company in terms of what has happened. But the point that I'm trying to make is that this is a systemic problem. This is a problem that you will continue to see while this very new technology is growing and while the industry is getting up to speed. You have a lot of CEOs and a lot of executives that have never ran multi-million, let alone multi-billion dollar companies before. They just haven't. And to impress upon them the importance or the significance of spending millions of dollars on compliance people, not just bodies in chairs, but people who have actually worked in other industries and know what's going on, number one. Number two, listening to those people, which is a huge problem that you can ask any compliance professional, just go on LinkedIn and ask them and say, do people listen to you? And most of them, half of them will tell you no, that the companies that they work for don't listen to them, particularly in the tech space. And so you have a multi-layered problem that is a problem that has existed in the tech space previously, but now in this emerging tech space where there is such a press to, you know, be the biggest, be the best, be the first one in, yeah, compliance is put on the back burner. And the sad part about this, there's so many, you know, downsides to this. Number one is we have no idea the individuals that could have been harmed in some of these transactions. If you look at the details of the indictment and you look at things that talk about transactions that facilitated child pornography or terrorism or, you know, or money laundering, we don't know, right? We don't know. And I'm not even sure the company knows at this time. Secondly, the damage to the reputation of the industry as a whole is irreparable, right? I mean, we've been going this whole year with case after case. I didn't even do an episode about SBF and FTX because I think we just heard about it so much. It was just so talked about and you know, just so wild and crazy that there was really nothing left to say. But this is different. This is different, I think, because in the space of Web3, certainly Binance was an early entrance or is an early entrance. And they also had a more corporate feel to it, to them. And so it's probably shocking for most people to read the details of the indictment or to really understand the level that, you know, non-compliance was happening at. Now, I will say that these kinds of settlements that come after penalties and the corrective actions that happen after, such as a independent monitor being put in place, the need to build a compliance program, this is not new. This has been happening in the tech space for years and years and years. And I know because I personally worked at a company where they had to pay $55 million to the Department of Justice and start a 5-year program on trade compliance and spend millions of dollars in putting people in place. And luckily for me, I was one of those hires that came on and was able to help them with their issues that they had. And that was all based on the company is now called Raytheon Technologies. Back then it was called United Technologies, but that was all about giving sensitive technical data to the Chinese. That was military data. And so, you know, you hear that and it's like, it's shocking, but these things happen. And this is the evolution of technology, is that when new technology comes out, it takes years for not just the regulators to understand it, but also for the industry players to understand, okay, I need to spend a lot of money to really control this. If I want to keep this business, I need to invest in people that actually know what the hell they're doing. And I need to invest in people that will stand up to me and say, you're doing this wrong, you're going to go to jail. Right? And not every compliance professional wants to say that. Not every person wants to stand up and say, you're doing this wrong, you're at risk, not just as a corporate head, as a CEO, but as an individual, you could face jail time. And that's a huge part of the discussion that Web3 is missing out on. I'm sorry, guys, I got to call you out on this one. But everything you hear about on crypto Twitter and in these sorts of degen spaces, You know, there is this really ill-conceived notion is that, oh, I'll ask for forgiveness and or whatever the term is, ask for forgiveness rather than permission, or we'll push it as far as we can go, et cetera. You can go to jail. Like, I don't think that people really understand that there's criminal consequences to this, which can impact you as an individual, which CZ is now experiencing. And so the discussion needs to move from what is happening to the reputation of the industry, but also what is happening to these people. I think that's left out of the discussion. I mean, I know it's so easy to paint people as bad. It's so easy to do it. And I really like, are they all 100% bad? I mean, the show is called Barely Legal, and I'm pushing you guys to question yourselves and how you perceive things. How bad are they? Are they evil? Or did they just make wrong decisions? And are they also caught up in a larger systemic problem? And that problem is that this technology is moving very quickly. Regulators have a very difficult task of trying to rope it in. And sometimes, and what we're seeing is that they're trying to rope it in so fast, the only way they can rope it in is by enforcement, which is very controversial. And then you have the CEOs who are pushed to bring in the money, make money, and then I think it kind of gets in their head, it gets in their ego. And, you know, they're dealing with millions and billions of dollars, quantities of money they've never touched before in their life. And so they start getting stupid, right? And so all of these things create the perfect storm for what we now have is an industry where people are labeling it as, we saw the debacle with Wall Street Journal where they said all cryptocurrency is used for terrorist financing. I think it was like some large majority percentage they stated, and I won't repeat it here. And there was quite a bit of backlash from that. And so my question to you as listeners is, what role do you play in this perfect storm? And how are you contributing to a better result? If you are a creator or someone who's an entrepreneur and you are pushing and pushing your project and yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be good. It's going to be great. Okay. But are you willing to do jail time for it? Is it really that great of a project? Is the mission really that great? That's the first question. If you are a lawyer, and trust me, for the lawyers who are listening, I know how tough it is. How much are you roping in your clients? It's okay to have your clients angry with you. I mean, guys, you have to do it, whether you're a lawyer or a consultant. You're in the space. Your client says they want to do X, Y, and Z. You have to tell them like it is. And you get to tell them like, hey, I don't think that's going to work. And I've had to do that before. I think you're going the wrong way. I don't think it's going to work. I think you need to do something a bit more conservative. People don't like to hear it, right? It's for that sort of, you know, splash of cold water in the face. Wake up, not time to play games. And then if you're a regulator and you're in this storm and you're pushing against the tide, you're trying to talk to people, trying to get your message out, what kind of education, what kind of programs can you offer? What are the tools and the resources that the greater population needs to understand this? Do CEOs need more training? Do we need more compliance professionals? There has to be something that's missing in all of this. And so when I look at cases like Sam Bankman-Fried, and I look at CZ, and I look at the numerous other CEOs and also companies that have been caught up in this, maybe it's my Barely Legal and Web3 mind at work here, but I don't paint everyone with the brush of they're evil, they're bad. I paint them with the brush that they're part of the system. There is a system, guys. There is a system at work. And whether you like it or not, or whether you know it or not, there are institutions and laws and flows in tides that have been rolling for years. And either you get on the right side of that tide or you're on the wrong side of it. And if you feel that the tide is going the wrong way, what can you do to change it? And that's what this podcast is all about. What can you do to change it? Because we can point fingers all day and say, yeah, he was bad. Sit down. It's great for the industry. Really? What? Really? Did he just wake up one morning and say, I'm going to pay $4 billion and then, you know, risk going to jail? No, I don't think that happened. I think that he made bad choices, but I think he made bad choices being presented with some pretty tough choices. So really interesting time to be not just having this podcast and in the space, but to be talking to people who have the power and the ability to make change. And if you are in the space building, you have the responsibility as well. And I know that it's so easy to point at the regulators and say, yeah, they should be more clear. They should be more direct. But some of these charges, I mean, OFAC did not just come about overnight. The Office of Foreign Assets Control has been around for many, many years. And sanctions and gray lists and blocked persons and denied parties is not a new, they're not new concepts. So why was that not followed? CEOs, entrepreneurs, founders, you have a duty, not just to yourself, but also to your users, the people who are using your technology and platform, and the people who are also wanting Web3 and cryptocurrency to succeed. You have a duty to build compliantly and to spend the money you need to spend to make sure you get it right. And I'm not saying that as a plug for ByteBow. I could care less if you hire me or someone else, but you gotta hire someone. You gotta hire someone to do it. And don't be cheap about it. You know, sometimes I see these budgets for things like marketing and, you know, Web3 projects will spend an arm and a leg to get on a stage and talk. They will spend an arm and a leg to do it. And they will not invest the same amount of dollars in their compliance. Why is that? That is an indication of a wrong moral compass. And we got to fix it. Tough episode today, guys, but I got to keep it real with you as I always do. And I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear what your thoughts are on the industry, where it's headed. You know, you can always find me on LinkedIn for sure. Would love to hear from you. Until next time, stay safe out there in those crypto streets. Take care.